Luke chapter 8, and we're going to start our reading tonight in verse number 4. The Bible says, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he, Jesus, spake by a parable." Here's the parable. "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among rocks, the thorns. The thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.' And his disciples asked him, saying, 'What might this parable be?' And he said, 'Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand.' Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience." Look back at verse number 8, if you would. Jesus finishes giving his parable. The Bible says, "When he had said these things, he cried, 'He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.'" Tonight we're preaching on learning to listen to God. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get right into our text tonight. Father, thank you for the opportunity of a midweek service where we can gather and corporately pray and seek your face on the behalf of others in this congregation that are going through things physically, financially. We've sought your face on the behalf of some that we know that are unsaved. And so we commit these things to your hands and know that you're a good and gracious God who wants to hear and answer our prayers. We're thankful for the opportunity of singing about the love that is in the Lord Jesus Christ and that has been shed abroad in our heart. We're thankful for the chance to look into your word. And we pray tonight that you teach us, that you'd open our eyes and understanding to your word, that we might learn how to listen to you. If there's anybody here that's never trusted you as their Savior, may this be the time and the place that they're turned from darkness to light, from the power of Satan and unto God. And we'll be careful to praise you for what you say and what you do in and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you listening to me? You ever had somebody ask you that question? Maybe it was your spouse. I've learned something. Tara and I have been married for 10 years now. It's possible to look like you're listening, act like you're listening, but to be thinking about something completely different. But usually my wife knows when I'm doing that. She's got that figured out. You know, it's not just men that have problems tuning in and listening properly. Ladies can do that. Kids are easily distracted. Teenagers seem to have selective hearing. But sadly, there are many people who have never learned how to listen to God. Now, we know that God doesn't speak to us out loud audibly. Rather, today He speaks to us through His Word. And here in the parable of the sower or the soils, I believe that Jesus was teaching his followers of that day and you and me today how to learn to listen to God. I've read this parable over and over many different times, and usually I applied it directly to the unsaved individual and how they would respond to the gospel message, and that's certainly a valid application. But Jesus here in his parable gives his application directly to his own disciples. And verse 8 is a key verse. It says that when he had finished saying these things, he cried. The word cried is in the tense. That means he didn't just say it once. He said it over and over and over again. You know what he kept saying? "He that had ears to hear, let him hear. He that had ears to hear, let him hear." I believe he was trying to get that crowd to learn to listen to God. Here's what's going on in this parable. Jesus' fame is spread throughout the countryside. On this particular account, when you read the synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke gives us a further insight into that, you get a full picture of what's going on. The crowd is so great, they press down on Jesus and back him up to a shoreline. He's decided to get into a boat, push back just into the sea, to be seated there to teach as the rabbis would in that day. And the shoreline became kind of a natural amphitheater for everybody to hear what he had to say. Well, Jesus knew in that crowd that day that there were individuals there for all kinds of different reasons. They'd come out of different motivations. You know, the same is true today. There are people that come to church, all kinds of different motivations for being there. Maybe there were some that day that were there just out of curiosity. They'd seen a crowd gathering down by the sea, and they thought, wonder what's going on. Let's go see. Maybe there were some, they had brought the family to see this great miracle worker. They thought it would be a way to entertain the family. Maybe somebody decided they'd show up to see if they could get a free meal out of it. You know, Jesus had taken 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed thousands, so let's take the whole family. Maybe he'll buy lunch. Maybe somebody decided to try out their new SUD. You say, what in the world is that? That's a sport utility donkey, you know. They decided to give that thing a go. Maybe somebody had been down to the mall and gotten a new toga they wanted to show off. There were people there for all kinds of reasons, but Jesus knew in that crowd were some that out of a pure heart really wanted to hear what he had to say. And so he begins to give a parable. Now, we often define a parable as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. This is one of the early parables that Jesus gives in his ministry. And when he gives it, it's confusing to the crowd and even to his own disciples. They have to ask him, Lord, what does this parable mean? What's this about? You see, up to this point, Jesus had talked very plainly with the people. He's told them exactly what they need to hear, but too often than not, they've rejected his words. And so in the latter part of his ministry, he goes to giving the multitudes these parables, and he tells his disciples why he does that. He says in verse number 10, unto you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. He says, I gave this parable for 3 reasons. First, I did it to conceal the message from some. That was on purpose. The casual onlooker that was there that day came, heard what Jesus had to say, and walked away scratching their head going, why was he talking about farming? That's all they got out of it. They missed the entire spiritual nature of what Jesus was really getting at. That was by design. It was to be concealed from some, but to be revealed to others. He says to his disciples, unto you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. You know, if the people in the crowd that day really wanted to know what Jesus was teaching about, what his parable was really about, all they had to do was ask. When his disciples asked, Jesus tells them the seed is the word of God. Here's what the soils mean. He reveals the meaning and the teaching of that parable. It was to be concealed from some, revealed to others, but it was given as a fulfillment of prophecy. For Jesus is quoting Isaiah when he says that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand. And then he reveals to his disciples the teaching, the interpretation of this parable. Now, here's what we want to do tonight. We're going to look at these 4 different soils that represent our own hearts and lives and the way that we would receive the Word of God. And what we want to do is purpose to cultivate being a good ground hearer. So that anytime the Word of God is given to you and to me, we would be a type of soil that would bring forth fruit for God's honor and for His glory. We want to learn to listen to God. So we're going to look at those soils, and then we're going to make some applications that will hopefully be beneficial to all of us here this evening. Notice, first of all, Jesus talks about the wayside soil. He says in verse 5, a sower went out to sow his seed. You know, when Jesus started this story, it's possible that people could have looked up the shoreline and seen exactly what he was describing at that very moment. For Palestine, much of the area were fields. And they didn't have all the tractor equipment like we do today. They went out with a satchel of seed, and by the handful, they would begin to toss that in different directions, and it would fall on different kinds, types of soil. He says, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. It was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Jesus said, the first type of soil that the seed fell on was this wayside soil. You say, what is that about? Well, in today's vernacular, we would call that the sidewalk. It was the road system of that day. Obviously, they didn't have vehicles. And so with much of the countryside as fields, the shortest way to get from A to B is a straight line. And so they would often cut right through the different fields that the farmers were using. Well, you can imagine what would happen to the soil that had once been tilled up and would be ready to receive seed as people's feet would pack that down. The animals would walk across that. It would become hardened. The sun would bake it, and it became as hard as the sidewalks around the outside of the buildings are tonight. So when that seed would get sown, it would be falling on that wayside soil, and it became an easy target for the birds. Instead of going to the soil that had been tilled up and having to peck around to find the seed, it was sitting right on the surface. They could swoop down and grab that and take off with an easy afternoon snack. Well, Jesus likens that soil to people's hearts. He says in verse number 12, "Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." Do you realize it's possible, even as a Christian, to be a wayside soil listener? It's possible to come to Sunday school and Sunday morning and sit in an adult Bible fellowship and a round table discussion and be there on a Wednesday night faithfully. And maybe you've grown up in church and you've been exposed to the Word of God over and over and over again. And that's just like that road that's been stepped on so many times. It's easy to become hardened and callous towards the things of God. There's times when somebody announces a text and you've already got in your mind, I know exactly what those verses say. I know what they're about. And so often we tune out rather than tuning in to what God has to say. When we do that, we're becoming wayside soil kind of listeners. We are hardening our hearts to the Word of God. Hey, I wonder, do you come to church just out of routine? Just out of habit? It's a good habit. It's a godly habit. But it's not just enough to show up and fill a pew, a seat, and warm that. We have to come with an open, receptive heart to what God has to say. Don't be a wayside soil kind of listener. The writer of Hebrews put it this way: today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. You know, there are people, maybe there's somebody tonight, you've heard the gospel over and over and over again. A relative has shared it with you. You've heard it preached from this pulpit. You've heard it in Sunday school. You've heard it on the radio. You understand the truth of the gospel, and yet it's never penetrated your heart because you've hardened your heart and mind and life to the Word of God. You've got somehow made up in your mind, there's something I have to do so that God will accept me so that I can have eternal life. It's the difference between do and done. It's not what we can do for God, but what God has done for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing that we can do that would be accepted. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saves us. Don't harden your heart. The Apostle Paul urges, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Don't go another day hardening your heart to the gospel message. Open it and receive by faith the gift of eternal life. There's the wayside soil, but then there's a second soil that Jesus talks about. I call it the stony soil. He says in verse 6, some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. The stony soil had a thin layer of topsoil, but what you couldn't see was just beneath the surface was a slab of rock, of limestone in that part of the world. The seed would get sown, it would begin to put down its root system. It would go down far enough to hit that bedrock, and since it couldn't go down any further, it would begin to spring up. And early on, if you were to look across the field, you would see that area over there with these plants growing faster than anywhere else, and you would think to yourself, I'm going to get a better yield from over there than I will anywhere else. But Jesus says, all it takes is that when it sprung up, verse 6, it withered away because it lacked moisture. There wasn't enough depth of earth. There was not enough nutrients and moisture there. All it took was the heat of the afternoon sun, and that little tender plant shriveled up and died. Jesus likens that to our hearts again in verse number 13 when He said, they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root which for a while believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. These are people who hear the Word of God. They even get enthusiastic, excited about it. Jesus says they receive the Word with joy, but when rubber meets road, they don't actually do and live and apply the Word of God. These are individuals who get emotionally attached to spiritual things, but that's as deep as it goes in their life. Now, there's nothing wrong with having our emotions stirred. Sometimes as Baptists, we're scared of any kind of emotion. There are certainly times when the Word of God ought to bring about certain emotions in our heart and our life. And yet, if all we do is attach to the emotional side of spirituality, when everything is emotionally up, we're living for God and doing great. And when everything's not doing so great, now we're down in the dumps and we're not living for the Lord. We've got to go deeper than that as a spiritual Christian, as one that wants to live for God. He says these people receive it with joy, but they have no root, so they eventually fall away. You know, there are some that will go to church on Sunday, and they'll get all lathered up and excited for living for God, but by Monday you would have never known that they darkened the church door on Sunday. All they do is get attached to the emotional side of the things of God. As a true believer, we want to go deeper than that. You know, often in today's realm of spirituality, people look down sometimes at camps and revival services and evangelists and some of these different things, and they kind of sneer at decisionism. You know, the truth of the matter is, everybody in here has had some point in your life where you made a decision, I want to stop this, start this, I want to live for God, and maybe you didn't live that out. If that's ever happened to you, as it's happened to me, you can't step back and blame the camp or the revival services or the preacher. You know who you have to blame? You. You were a stony soil listener. All you did was get emotionally attached to a decision rather than going deeper than that. And God says, don't be a wayside soil listener. Don't be a stony soil listener. Maybe you're an individual. You've made a profession of faith. You prayed a prayer, signed a card, walked an aisle. Maybe it was short-lived. There are some that have come and maybe made a profession of faith, but try to get them in the church today. They're not the least bit interested. They could care less about the things of God, about the people of God, about the Word of God. All they had was a religious experience. A genuine believer is one who doesn't just respond to God out of emotion, but with their mind and their will and their emotion gives their whole being over to the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to go deeper than that. So don't be a wayside soil. Don't be a stony soil listener. But then Jesus talked about another soil. He talked about the thorny soil. He says in verse 7, some fell among thorns. The thorns sprang up with it and choked it. This was fertile ground. The problem was it was weed infested. You ever pulled weeds? That's job security, I suppose. You pull them out and they're right back, it seems like, the next day or two. It's part of the curse of the earth because of sin that we have to deal with today. And yet Jesus says the seed was sown, the little plant began to grow, but it was choked out by the thorns and the thistles and the weeds that were already infested in that ground. This is an individual whose mind and heart is so crowded and preoccupied by worldly things that the Word of God can't bring forth fruit in your life. It's easy to get distracted by everything else the world has to offer. Maybe you come to church on a Sunday morning and God would speak to your heart from His Word through the message that's given, but your mind is going on tomorrow's work schedule, the emails that have to be replied to, the phone calls that have to be made, the business that has to be conducted. Maybe you as a lady sit in the Sunday morning service and God begins to speak to your heart, but you're thinking more about the Sunday noon meal that will follow rather than feeding your mind and heart on the Word of God at that point. When you do that, you become a wayside, a stony, a thorny kind of hearer to the Word of God. You may be a parent. Invitation time rolls around. God is doing a work in your heart. You know you need to do business with God, but instead of doing that, your mind is thinking, now he's almost done, and mama's got to get the little ones out of the nursery, and I got to grab the other ones out of junior church, and we got to get the van and hurry up and get down to the buffet before the Methodist beat us there. We got to go. Now don't look at me like I don't know what I'm talking about. You've done that, and so have I. And when we do that, we become thorny soil kind of listeners. You may be a businessman. You sit in a service and God would speak to you through His Word by His Spirit, but your mind is on the business deal that got away Friday or the one you're trying to close by the end of the week now. All kinds of worldly things that can crowd out and choke out what God would do in our heart and our life. You may be here, you've heard the gospel. You've considered your need of salvation. You've thought about giving your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you've come to this conclusion. You know, if I get saved, if I receive Christ as my Savior, He's going to change everything about my life. Hey, I'm glad you understand at least that much about the gospel. It's not just a 1, 2, 3, pray after me and go back to living the way I was. When God enters a person's life, He begins to change us for His honor and for His glory. And yet you're more interested in your worldly possessions and in your sensual desires and all the cares and pleasures and riches of this life are choking out what God would do in your heart in salvation. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world but lose his own soul? What are you going to give in exchange for your soul? Don't be a thorny soil listener. Don't allow the things of this earth to choke out what God would do in and through us. So there's the wayside, the thorny and the stony soil. But then Jesus talks about that final one. He talks about the good soil. Notice verse 8, if you would. And other fell on good ground, and it sprang up, and it bare fruit an hundredfold. The word good here means honest, excellent, useful. You know what's interesting to me? All four of these soils get the exact same seed. Did you notice that? But But only one brings forth fruit. You ever sat in a service, and for whatever reason, your mind was preoccupied with other things, there was a burden going on in your heart, the message was given, and somehow it went right over your head, it kind of went in one ear and out the other. You walked out Sunday morning or in one of the services, and you thought to yourself, I didn't really get anything out of that. But you got in the car, and on the way home, your spouse or somebody in the family says, man, wasn't that a great service? Boy, God really spoke to my heart today. And you're thinking, did you hear the same sermon that I heard? Because I didn't get anything out of that. You know, the difference wasn't the seed. The difference was the soil. And so what we want a purpose to do is cultivate being a good ground here. For Jesus says of this good soil that it brings forth fruit an hundredfold. I'm sure when he said that, that all the farmers kind of perked up and looked around at each other and thought, nobody gets that around here. Nobody gets that kind of yield. I'm told in Palestine, if they got a 10-to-1 yield, they thought they had done well. So you know what Jesus was saying? He wasn't talking about natural results. He was talking about supernatural results. Did you know that God wants to do something in you and me that's supernatural? He wants to bring about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those aren't natural. They're supernatural. You don't naturally love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. You naturally love you. So it takes a supernatural work of God in us to bring about that fruit of the Spirit. We want to cultivate being good ground hearers, learning to listen to God. So what we're going to do in closing here is make some application. We're going to get some defensive measures. We're going to learn some things from the bad soil. And then we're going to close with learning some lessons from the good soil that will help us learn to listen to God and cultivate being a good ground hearer. The first thing that we learn, if we're going to hear from God, is that we have to understand the reality of a spiritual battle. Jesus understood this. Look at verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil. He taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. You know, I think often as believers, as Christians, we theologically agree that Satan exists, but practically we never give him any consideration. Now, I'm glad to announce tonight, we don't have to be fearful or scared of the devil. God said in his word, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And yet as Christians, we need to realize that anytime we come to the word of God, there is a spiritual battle that goes on when we're looking into God's word. You ever notice how easy it is to watch a television program? It takes no effort. Surf the internet. No problem. Pick up a newspaper, a magazine. Play some video games for some of the younger ones. No big deal. Pick up a novel. It could be hundreds of pages and you can read right through it. But get your Bible and open it and sit down and begin to read, and what happens? It's tough. Why? Well, because the devil doesn't care if you watch television. He could care less. Watch all the movies, play all the video games you like, but he would care that on a midweek service, you'd be sitting in an auditorium with your Bible open, hearing what God has to say. Which means when we come to a service and the Word of God is given, we can't park our brains at the door. You can't come just kind of sit down and think, I'm here, and chill out. The spiritual battle is just beginning when the Word of God is being opened, so we have to understand the reality of a spiritual battle that goes on. You know, Peter in the Bible had some dealings with the devil. The first time, he failed miserably. He denies Jesus 3 times. Jesus even warned him, Peter, Satan's desire to have you and sift you like wheat. Rough old fisherman thought he could handle it on his own. If all deny you, not me, not me. But you back up before his denial a few hours and you'll find him in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus. Peter, James, and John, kind of the inner circle, they're praying. Well, they're supposed to be praying. Jesus goes a little further in. He prays. He comes back. And what are Peter, James, and John doing? Are they praying? They're sound asleep. The Lord has to wake them up. Guys, watch and pray. He goes a little further. He comes back. Now they're watching and praying, right? Nope. They're sleeping again. That happens a third time. You know, one of the reasons I believe Peter failed the way he did, he didn't watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. But I think he learned his lesson. Because in the latter part of his life, he writes in 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant. You know what those words mean? Be awake, be alert. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Paul told us, put on the whole armor of God so we can stand against the wiles, the schemes, the tricks of the devil. We've got to recognize there's a spiritual battle that goes on, but we learn something else to put up a defensive measure, and that is we have to go deeper than an emotional decision when we listen to God. Remember verse 13, he says, "They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. These have no root which for a while believe, and in a time of temptation they fall away." Now again, nothing wrong with having your emotions stirred, but you've got to go deeper than that if we're going to really hear from God. You see, you're a whole being. You have mind, will, and emotion. And all of those have to be engaged to really hear from God. The mind has to understand what God is saying. That's why we take the time to stop and read and study and understand the Word of God. You can't do what you don't understand how to do. So God gives us the instructions in His Word. The mind has to understand it. The emotion says, "I feel it," but the will says, "By God's grace, I'm going to do it." The whole being has to be involved in listening to God. But we learn something else. We have to purposefully eliminate distractions. Look at verse 14 again, if you would. "That which fell among thorns are they which, when they've heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection." If we're going to hear from God, we have to remove the competition to hearing from Him. Hey, I don't know how it is around your house, but when my wife wants to have a serious conversation, she doesn't want the television on in the background. She won't want me messing with the kids, looking at some sports article. She wants my undivided attention. You know, when it comes to dealing with God and His Word, He wants nothing less than our undivided attention. And so we have to work at eliminating distractions. You say, what could distract? He says it could be cares, riches, or pleasures of this life. The word cares just means the mundane things of life. We're busy. Some of you have come straight from work. You've run in. You've gotten a plate of lasagna, and you've come sat down in the auditorium, and you've been up early and running to hard and getting the kids from point A to point B and back again and all over the place. And we kind of come and sit down and think, whew, I made it. You know, we can't just relax and tune out at that point. There's a spiritual battle that's going on, and so we have to purposely eliminate those distractions. Could be cares, could be riches. We understand from Scripture it's not money that's the root of all evil, it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. Money makes the world go round, we understand that. And even as believers, it helps to have some in order to live here on this earth. And yet when we come to a service, it's easy for our mind to be preoccupied with material things rather than hearing what God has to say. Maybe you sit down in a service on a Sunday morning and all of a sudden it hits you. You know, it's cold out there and the heat's been cranking and this month's bill is going to be pretty high. You know, I drive a little ways to get to church and it's $3.70 a gallon. You realize how much it just cost me to get my family here and back? Then they're taking an offering. They want me to give, and now they're taking another one at the end, you know. And I got school bills coming up with the kids, and I got to try to put them through college. And it's easy for our mind to go through all of that rather than hearing what God has to say. Could be cares, could be riches, could be pleasures of this life. You know, folks, we live in an entertainment-driven society. And the world knows how to entertain. I mean, they put it up in high def and 3D and surround sound, and we're used to how rapid things move and how colorful and how animated. And all of a sudden we come to a church service like this one and we sit down and we say, take up the Bible and open it and read and think. And we're going, man, this is hard. We're so used to the way that the world entertains us that it can be distracting when it comes to focusing on God's Word. Did you know it's not the preacher's responsibility to entertain you? Now, any preacher worth his salt is not trying to be boring. The Word of God is alive, it's quick, it's powerful, it's exciting, and it applies to you and to me. But it's not our job as preachers to entertain you. It is each individual's responsibility to be a good listener and hearer of the Word of God. So understand there's a spiritual battle. Go deeper than an emotional decision. Eliminate distractions. But then we learn something from the good soil on how to cultivate this. For he says in verse 15, "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." He says if you're going to be a good ground hearer, first of all, it requires having a receptive heart. He says this is the good ground. It's different than the wayside soil that's too hardened to receive the seed. This soil has been tilled up and ready to receive the Word of God. It's different than the thorny soil that's choked out by everything else that's going on. All that's been cleared away so that the mind can concentrate on what God has to say. It's different than that stony soil that hears God's Word and gets excited about it but doesn't actually live it out. These are people who are receptive to the Word of God. You know, if you're going to hear from God anytime God's Word is open, you can't come to a service with a negative attitude towards spiritual things. Now, most people don't do that, but occasionally there's some that come every service, and we're glad you're here, but they come kind of with this attitude of, I don't know why I'm here, but I'm here. They have a negative attitude towards the things of God. You know, if you come that way, more than likely you'll come and go and you won't get anything out of the message. Most people don't come to church that way. Usually, when we get here, we kind of come in with a neutral attitude. Just take it or leave it. So we might get something and we might not. There's kind of a 50-50 chance. You know, the best way to come to every service is with a positive attitude towards the things of God. A receptive heart. A heart that says, God, I want you to speak to me. You know, if you'll come to every service that way, it doesn't matter who's preaching or what they're preaching about, you'll get something every single time. You know why? You came with a receptive heart. Not only should you have a receptive heart, but secondly, have a responsive heart. He says this soil is honest and good heart, having heard the word. Next two little words in the verse are important. Keep it. This is a distinguishing characteristic of the soil. They're not hard-hardened where they don't even receive the seed. They didn't get choked out. It doesn't bring forth fruit and then shrivel up. They keep it. These are people when they hear the word of God. Matthew says they understand it. Mark says they accept it. Luke says they keep it. They're positively responding to what they're hearing. They hear it. They get it. They own it. They live it. James put it this way. Don't just be hearers. Be doers of the Word of God. Why? Because if you know what's right to do and you don't do that, God says that's sin. Church isn't a spectator sport. It's not come sit down and watch the preacher go and listen to the music and then let's go get a bite to eat afterwards. Each one of us is responsible for what we hear. That's why Jesus says in Luke 8 and verse 18, take heed therefore how you hear. You've got to come with a receptive heart. God, speak to me. A responsive heart, God, when you speak, I am willing to obey. Receptive, responsive, and finally, a resolved heart. For he says, they keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. The Bible word patience means endurance. In other words, these people don't just decide I'm going to live it for a little while. They've resolved in their heart and their mind, they've made a commitment to follow through with what they've heard from the Word of God. They're receptive, responsive, and resolved. I don't know if you do any gardening. I've not done much, but I do know this much. If you're going to have something worthwhile to enjoy from a garden, it doesn't happen by accident. It takes a lot of W-O-R-K work. You know, sometimes as Christians we have this idea that, well, you know, I go to Sunday morning and Sunday night, and I'm in Wednesday night, and why am I not growing the way I really ought to be growing? Because growth doesn't happen by osmosis. You can't just show up and expect that to happen. Now, you're in a great place to be able to grow, but you've got to come as a good ground hearer. You've got to come with a heart that says, God, I want to hear from you. I'm receptive. God, when you speak, I'm willing to obey. I'll be responsive. And I don't just want to obey short term. I want this to be a way of life. I want this to change the way that I live. I wonder, what kind of soil have you been? Better yet, what kind of soil will you purpose to be? Don't be a wayside soil listener. Don't be stony. Don't be thorny. But rather, let's purpose to be good ground hearers by understanding there's a spiritual battle, by eliminating distractions, by going deeper than an emotional decision and coming to God with a receptive, responsive, and a heart resolved to listen when God speaks. That's how you can learn to listen to God. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the way that you want to speak to us. Thank you for the truths of Scripture. May we purpose, even on a Wednesday night, not just to come and put in time, when Sunday rolls around, just to be there because we ought to be. But may we come with an attitude positive towards the things of God. May we be receptive, responsive, and resolved to obedience, that we might bring forth fruit, that others might see and glorify you, our Father, which is in heaven. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.